Okay, welcome everybody. It's a great spus for us to join together for this wonderful Leil Iyun this evening. The topic tonight is Emunah in me, why it matters and how I get there. And God willing, we hope to share some ideas, some thoughts that will help us deepen our own Emunah and our Emunah on ourselves and help us better understand ourselves. Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin was a great tzaddik, a great Jewish thinker. He lived in the 19th century. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin said something wild about Emunah in me. And I'll read you the exact words and we'll talk a little bit about what that means. He says, Kishem, Shetzarech Adam Lahamin Bahashem Yisparach, Kach Tzarech Achar Kach Lahamin Ba'atzmam. Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says the same way that a person has an obligation to believe in God, a person has the same obligation to believe in themselves. Now, before we walked into this room, I'm sure every single person here would have told us that obviously it's an obligation to believe in God. But I'm not sure that everybody would have said with the same authority and the same clarity that there's an obligation to believe in oneself. And it took Reb Tzadok to say it for us to be able to share it and discuss it this evening. And he explains why that is. And he says, Ratza lomar sheish la Hashem yisparach esek imo, v'chi nafsho mimkor hachayim yisparach shemo, v'Hashem yisparach mis'anig mishpashe abak shehus ha'ritzono. It means that Hashem has dealings with us, and our souls come from Hashem. And Hashem is mis'anig mishpashe abak shehus ha'ritzono. Hashem is involved and gets involved with us when we follow His will. And it's for this reason that every single morning when we wake up, the first thing that we say in the morning, we say, Moda ani lepanacha melachai v'kayam, shechazarta b'nishmasi. The Mishnah Berurah says, you're supposed to say, Bechemla, stop, Rabba munasaka. Why do I stop after the word Bechemla? Most of us, the song doesn't go that way. Bechemla, Rabba munasaka. They've been lying to me my whole life. Why do we stop after the word Bechemla? The Mishnah Berurah tells us that Rabba Emunasecha. What does that mean, Rabba Emunasecha? Great is Emunasecha. Anybody able to conjugate Hebrew? Anybody able to break that down? Emunashelcha. Great is your Emunah. Who's Emunah? Whose Emunah are we talking about? Hashem's Emunah. Thank you, Bobby, for being here, for sharing. This is very exciting. It's a big schluss. I would have opened with that, but I forgot for a second. But it's a big schluss to have Bobby with us tonight. Anyway, chas v'shalom, you have to give proper honor. So, it's Rabba Emunah Secha. Great is your Emunah. Hashem's Emunah, not my Emunah. Every morning when we wake up and Hashem wakes us up and we get up to start our day, we say, great is God's Emunah. What does that mean, great is God's Emunah? Who does God have Emunah in? That means that every single morning when you wake up, the first thing you say is that God has Emunah in me. Because the same way we have this obligation to believe in God, we have an obligation to believe in ourselves. Because really, Hashem took a piece of Himself and put it inside every single one of us. We all have a piece of God inside of us. And if we all have a piece of God inside of us and we are supposed to believe in God, what does that mean? Hashem woke me up this morning, thank God. Hashem gave me a day filled with opportunities and wonderful things for me to do. And therefore, Rabba Munasakha, Hashem has belief in me. And guess who else should have belief in me? Me. And for this reason, friends, it's for this reason that we're here gathered tonight together to talk about belief in ourselves. To talk about not just our belief in Hashem, but to talk about the importance of belief in ourselves.
And with that, before I say anything else, for those who filled out the questionnaire earlier today, for me the most challenging question was, what is the source of your Emunah? I think the options were parents, friends, Rabbeim, myself, or other. But for me, there was one option that should have been there. For me, the most obvious answer was my grandparents. My grandparents, my Bubby is here to represent all four of my grandparents. One of them, my grandfather, was Nifter 2 years ago, Poppy, but for me, the answer was very obvious. All four of my grandparents are the source of my Emunah, so it means so much for Bubby to be here. As for what Rabbi Shulman was saying, the ability, the Emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in each and every one of us, oftentimes, it's easy to look at the Torah, 613 mitzvot, countless other halachos from the times of the Gemara, from the times of the Mishnah. Oftentimes it could feel overwhelming. How am I supposed to accomplish all this, learn all of that? That's a lot for one individual to accomplish. And yet, perhaps the most often cited Mishnah, for anyone who's maybe been at a shir, we don't do this as much on NCS Vaikolo, for anyone who's perhaps been at a shir in between Mincha Ma'ariv in their hometown, or a shir after davening, right at the end of shir, anyone familiar with the Mishnah that oftentimes the person giving the shir mumbles, right? It's normally, anyone know what he actually says there? It's always some Mishnah, anyone? Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lizakus Es Yisrael. Hashem wants to merit us, to help us. So therefore, what does He do? If you ask me, you know what I would say? I would say make the Torah easy. Make it understandable. Maybe write the Torah in English. Give me a list of 5, maybe 10 halachos. Maybe don't eat not kosher where it sits. Give me 2 halachos. I'll be the biggest gadol ador. I'll do every mitzvah in the book. And yet, what does the Mishnah say? Lefikach hirbo lahem Torah mitzvos. Therefore, in order to give us the opportunity to have more schar, Hashem gives us more responsibility. Puts more on my plate. Says each and every one of us could do more. How is that helping me? A camp with one rule is far, presumably, more enjoyable, easier to follow the guidelines, than a camp with countless rules. So for this, I think of the quote, really from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. Originally, a little fast fact, it's not actually from Spider-Man, it's from Winston Churchill, about over 100 years ago. But either way, Spider-Man made it famous. With great power comes great responsibility. If someone has a certain co-op, an ability, they have a responsibility to do what they could to help out the world with it. But for me, when I think of Emunah and how it could impact our self-esteem, and more importantly, like Rabbi Shulman said, Rab Emunah Secha, the Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in us, I think of the opposite, the inverse. With great responsibility, by definition, comes great power. If Hashem is going to look me in the eyes and say, Shai, you have an obligation of 613 mitzvot. See all those svarim in the shelves? You're capable of carrying them out. Your goals are to aspire to be great. Then by definition, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever challenge me in something I'm incapable of overcoming? Would Hashem ever say, do something that I'm... Would He ever tell me to fly? He doesn't tell me to fly. I can't do that. Does He ever tell me to do something I'm incapable of? Absolutely not. It must be that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is challenging me with something, if He puts something in my face, an obstacle, a mitzvah, a yetzer hara, the only option is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the trust, has the faith in each and every one of us that we're able to overcome it and we're able to be the best version of ourselves following through on all 613 mitzvahs. So lefikach hirbalem Torah mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just giving us more rules to follow, but rather He's giving us each an innate ability to follow all these halakhos. If there were 612, I wouldn't have the capability I do now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopes and wishes and prays for me to do even more, to do 613. And that's what we say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emunah in us, by giving us responsibility, by telling me I have things to do, Hashem is saying that I instilled within you that greatness. No matter what I think I am, I have that ability.
So now we're going to talk about confidence, and we're going to talk about self-esteem. And sometimes when people talk about those concepts, so they seem to use them interchangeably, but the truth is that one can be confident, but still not have such great self-esteem. What do I mean? Confidence really refers to your confidence to do something well, a skill. You might have a talent. You might have a certain ability. So I can be very confident that I can take a picture of the sunset. Very confident. But I still might not have the greatest self-esteem. Self-esteem usually refers to my general feelings about my identity, myself. And that's why sometimes you find people who seem very, very confident in the world. They seem, maybe they look a certain way, they dress a certain way, they act a certain way. But behind closed doors, that all might be one giant facade. They might be total imposters. They might just be playing it up. Because they're not exactly the same thing. So ultimately, we want to be confident in the things that we do. But even more important than just having confidence in our abilities and our skills is we also want to have a general positive self-esteem. And because of that, we're going to do a little Mythbusters tonight. And we're going to talk about 5 truths about confidence and self-esteem that most people don't know. Five things that maybe you didn't know before tonight that maybe will help us give insight into our own confidence, into that confidence that we talked about that Hashem tells us that we have to have, that self-esteem that we have to have. And the first thing is that confidence and self-esteem is fueled by failure just as much as it's fueled by success. You see, before tonight, I would have said that the way to gain self-esteem, the way to gain confidence, is be successful. The more successes that I have in life, the more self-esteem, the more confidence I'll be able to have. But the truth is that's not true. A lot of time, that confidence and self-esteem can be built not just from the belief that I'll succeed, but the belief that I'll be okay even if I don't. People with low self-esteem feel vulnerable. They feel nervous. They feel worried about allowing themselves to put themselves into situations where they might fail, where they might have a situation where they put themselves at risk. When you have that self-esteem, when you build that confidence, you're not focused on needing to succeed. You're focused on being able to take risks in life to be able to build yourself even greater. When you have that self-esteem, you're comfortable in your own shoes and you're not nervous about going into certain situations that may seem risky, that may seem like it's pushing you out of your comfort zone. And that's why having this ability to have that self-esteem, to have that confidence is so crucial. Because if you can't do that, so then you never take any risks. You never put yourself out there. You never give yourself the opportunity to be able to grow and to develop and to be able to learn new things in life.
And if we were to ask about how does emunah in and commitment toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living my life filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how would that help me sort of respond to Shulman's point? How would that allow me to feel not any inertia, not indecision, but confidence and the ability to move forward when faced with going outside of my comfort zone? I think it's worthwhile to think about one of the late Rishonim, the Sefer HaChassidim, says the happiest a human being could be. He explains, "Ein simcha kehataras hasvekos." There's no simcha in the world. We could talk about the best party you've ever been to, the greatest siyum, celebration, ball game, whatever it is. The greatest simcha one could feel in the world is removing their self-doubt. Is removing one, if we're really being honest, I'm not sure what I should do. I'm not sure which friends I should move towards. I'm not sure how I should approach this topic, that shir, this relationship. Self-doubt, as Rav Shulman just described, is crippling. It forces me to stay in my box, not ever challenge myself, not try to grow. Ein simcha kehataras hasvekos. And I think if someone is rooted in emunah, rooted in a commitment towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a pasuk in Mishle, a quote from Shlomo HaMelech, I know for myself is so unbelievably empowering. Rabos machshavos b'lev ish, v'atzas Hashem hisakum. Rabos machshavos b'lev ish. We all have a lot of thoughts. V'atzas Hashem hisakum. And the way that's generally translated is v'atzas Hashem. Whatever Hashem goes, at the end of the day, we can make plans. But man plans and God laughs. Rabos machshavos b'lev ish. I think I'm going to do this. And we all know maybe the bus will break down. Maybe I'll miss the bus. Maybe the tzu will be closed. Rabos v'atzas Hashem hisakum. But the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and his parish on Mishle, explains v'atzas Hashem hisakum is not what it means. He means that when you're faced with indecision, with frustration, with difficulties, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish, you're not sure what to do, atzas Hashem hisakum. If you live a life, an Eitzah, Eitzah means guidance. If you look towards the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, you know what, I'm really not sure what to do. You know what, let me look in the Torah. Let me speak to a Rebbe. Let me speak to someone who maybe knows if Hashem, or the Chumash, or the Gemara, or Chazal, has any insight on my suffix, on my situation. The Atzas Hashem Yisachim. And you know what, I'm just going to do that. Now I'm no longer the suffix. Life, says the Gra, is so much clearer, simpler, far less complex. If we're able to say, life can throw me this, can throw me that way, but at the end of the day, Atzas Hashem Yisakum, I'm going to stay grounded, focus on trying to zero in on the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then no matter what happens, I'm good, because I always could fall back and look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for proper guidance.
So we said number one, again, our confidence, our self-esteem doesn't just come from our successes, it comes through our failures. And sometimes when we're in that position of not knowing, we turn to the Torah, we turn to Hashem to guide us through those moments and to allow us to get out of that indecision. Number two is that confidence, self-esteem is generated. It's not given. A lot of time people think that I gain confidence when people share things with me, when people give me a grade back, when people give me an award, when people give me an accolade. There's a great story written in this sefer I have in front of me from my teacher, Rabbi Judah Michelle. And it talks about a tzaddik named Ramundel Futterfass, who was a great tzaddik. He lived in Soviet Russia, and he was willing to sacrifice everything in order to continue teaching Judaism and spreading Judaism, even under the worst of conditions. And he was thrown in jail many times. And one day, he was in jail, and in jail, there were many rules about what you could and couldn't do, and obviously, leisure activities were not exactly on the high list. You couldn't sit back and watch the Super Bowl when you were in jail. You weren't given, spike ball to play to pass the time. And some of the prisoners were able to smuggle in a deck of cards. That was like really achieving great success in jail. And yet, the guards were told about this. And the guards kept on raiding the prisoners' cells, looking for this deck of cards, trying to deprive them of the one joy that they were possibly able to have. And time and time again, after the guards would come into the prison, they looked and they looked and they looked, couldn't find the deck of cards. And again, they kept on having inspections and inspections, but again, they couldn't do it. So they thought, you know what, once and for all, we're going to end this. Instead of just checking the general prison cells, we're going to do full body checks. The guards came in, they pulled the gloves up, they got into their situation, they got everybody ready, and they checked their person. Each and every single prisoner to see where are they. If it's not hidden under the pillow, it must be in somebody's pocket. And they checked and they checked and they checked. No success. They couldn't find the deck of cards. And Ramundel Futterfass was talking to one of the other prisoners after this, and he said, "I don't get it. Where are the cards? How do you have the cards? I know that they're here. I've seen you guys playing. Like, where is it?" And he said, "You see, all of us here are professional pickpockets. And we've all got quick hands. As soon as the guards walked into the cell, you know what we did with that deck? Slipped it into the guard's pocket. And then they checked every single one of us looking for the deck of cards. And before they left, pulled it right out and had it. You see, the whole time they were looking at everybody else, but they never looked at themselves. And when it comes to confidence and self-esteem, we all do the same thing. We all go searching in everybody else's pockets. We look to our friends. We look to people we know that we don't know. Sometimes we look to teachers. Sometimes we look to all sorts of figures in our lives. But the truth is that in life, confident people don't allow others to determine their success. Confident people look within. They don't equate their self-confidence, their self-esteem with their accolades, with their awards, with their GPA, with their accomplishments. They're able to take control of their confidence and their self-esteem themselves. They look in their own pocket. And a person is able to do that, that person is put into a tremendous place of strength. Far too often, and I'm sure you guys could tell me more stories than I could tell you, do we see people that are so desperate for other people's recognition, for other people to give them that confidence and that self-esteem, and then what happens? They make major mistakes. Sometimes they make a joke that they shouldn't have made because they wanted to get a laugh out of the crowd. Sometimes they do something they shouldn't be doing because they were trying to show people, "Hey, look at me." But when we are able to look within, we're able to look in our own pockets, able to find that confidence, that self-esteem within ourselves, then we don't necessarily care or have a need to look to other people, to look to be the clown, to look to be the one who stands out in order to feel better about ourselves. We feel good about ourselves because we're able to generate that from within. And this is something that's actually contagious. You see, feeling insecure, feeling a lack of confidence, comes from looking around you sometimes. Sometimes when you're around a group of people that are confident, that have high self-esteem, that are positive, that are inspiring, so that has an impact on your own feelings. That has an impact on who you are. If you surround yourself with people who are like, a lot of shrugging of the shoulders, a lot of meh, a lot of eh, a lot of... So if that's what you're surrounded with, guess what? That's what you're going to feel. Surrounding yourself, again, it's supposed to come from within, But your surroundings do have an impact on you. And if you recognize that confidence has that contagious quality to it, if you recognize that other people make a big difference in how you're feeling and the general vibe that's created, so that's able to change the way that you feel. The Mishnah has a very strange thing that it tells us. It says that you're supposed to harchek mishachein ra. You're supposed to distance yourself from a bad neighbor. And then it says ve'al tischaver l'rasha, but don't connect to an evil person. I would think that the Mishnah should warn me about an evil person in a more extreme manner than it does about a bad neighbor. I would think evil people get really far away from them. Bad neighbor, okay, like, you know, maybe don't invite them for lunch, you know? But like, you don't have to move, you don't have to get out of town. Why does the Mishnah do the opposite? It says, evil people, just don't connect to them. You can keep them close. But, you know, it's like keep your enemies closer than your friends a little bit. Evil people, don't worry, just don't connect. But a bad neighbor, stay very far away. Why? And Rav Isaac Sher explains that the reason is because of the evil person, it's clear. I know that they're evil. I know I'm trying to be good. I'll try to have a nice impact on them, but I'm not going to fall for what they're doing. I'm not going to get confused about how they're acting in life. But with a bad neighbor, if a person speaks negatively, if a person has a negative vibe, if a person in general isn't necessarily looking at me the way that I want to look at myself, it not only is going to impact me when I'm with them, guess what? Next week, when I'm totally in a different country, I'm thinking about what they said to me. I'm thinking about the way that they made me feel. And when that happens, that's something that has much long-lasting impact than any other interaction you might have with somebody who's evil. Somebody's evil, I see what they do is evil, I know it's evil, I can move on. But somebody who's a bad neighbor, somebody who's not such a good friend, who speaks to me in a way that degrades me, who makes me think of myself in a negative way, so that could be something that's very, very poisonous. And that's something that we have to avoid. We said before that a person doesn't want to stay in their own comfort zone. It's healthy for a person to get out there. And that's why Mythbuster number 4 is that the more varied your experience, the more confidence you have. If you've only ever played a 2-on-2 in basketball, so guess what happens when you try to play a 5-on-5 game? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to. I happen to be a much better 3-on-3 player than 5-on-5. I'm just being honest here. One guy once saw me play 3-on-3. He thought I was a great ball player. I'm like, just wait till 5-on-5. Anyway, but he started like spreading rumors about me. Like, this guy's really good. I'm like, no, stop for a second. Let's go back here. In life, the more experience, the more exposure you get, the better you are at different situations. If you always limit yourself, you'll never be able to be good. Again, we said confidence is built. Self-esteem is built. We said you got to put yourself out there. So you actually have to get out there, and you have to have varied experience. You have to have experience in a 2-on-2, on a 5-on-5, in a 3-on-3, in a 4-on-4. You have to be able to play different sports. You got to be good at chess and checkers. You got to be able to play Risk. You got to be able to play Settlers. You know, the people play Settlers sometimes. These guys just play Settlers all the time. It's scary. Anyway, but you got to be able to have lots of different experience, different types of movies, different types of leisure, different types of whatever it is. Because the more that you have, the more you're able to step out of those comfort zones and broaden to gain that experience. So again, we said, don't worry about the failures. We said it comes from within. We said it's contagious. We said you got to vary your experience. And number 5 is that confidence is a choice. Confidence is a choice. A lot of times in life, we think that either you're born with high self-esteem, you're born as a confident person, you feel like you're a little bit extroverted or you're a little bit introverted, and therefore, I have what I have and I am who I am and that's it. But it's not all about nature. We are able, through some of the things that we're talking about, to build that confidence, to build that self-esteem, and not just to sit back and assume we are the way we are and therefore, I'm a quiet person. I'm a quiet person. I don't like putting myself out there. I don't like going here. I don't like this experience. I don't like that. I'm going to stay put at home and nothing. No, we got to be able to build that. We got to make that choice. When we make choices to be confident, I'm not telling you to be fake. I'm not telling you to be disingenuous. I'm not telling you to be something that you're not. But when we test those limits, when we push ourselves, and we don't just sit back and just assume it's natural, so that's something that helps us build that confidence.
When we think about going outside of our comfort zone, perhaps taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, taking our self-esteem to expand myself. The story I think about in my life that allowed me to concretize this idea was actually on my right after my second summer on NCS Waikolo, post 11th grade. I don't remember exactly, but I was going back to America, and for about 5 or 6 days, my younger siblings were all going to be in sleepaway camp. My parents had to go elsewhere to visit a family friend. So there I was. I was going to be alone in the house for 5 or 6 days. First time, maybe people here have done it. But for me, 5 or 6 days alone, I was nervous. Not exactly the best cook I know. What was I going to do? I did have a driver's license, but I didn't really know. I was going to go to a friend for Shabbos. But 4 or 5 days, I'd be on my own. And please allow me to say something that sounds perhaps immature. The moment that I knew that everything would be okay, I'd be taken care of, it would really all be good no matter what, is when my parents said, they said, by the way, we're leaving you home alone, but don't worry, you could have our credit card. You could have our credit card. So what does that have to do with me being my self-esteem? For me, like I said, you can make fun of me if you'd like, but I knew that no matter what happened to me, like I said, if I tried cooking and it didn't go the way we had hoped, or let's say, chas v'shalom, even worse, someone robbed me on the street, I'd be good. You know what? I'd give them the credit card, and then they'd have nothing to do with me. If my food was spoiled, okay, I could order food. I could drive somewhere. The credit card allowed me to feel confident. It allowed me to say, you know what? No matter what happens, no matter if I'm not sure what to have for breakfast, lunch, dinner, just got back from Kollel, perhaps I needed new clothes after some of the TLM. Okay, I had a credit card. I'm good to go. And obviously, while there we're speaking about financials, the message behind that, at least for me, once I able was to reflect on it, of what it means to have parents, what it means to have people who care about me. The self-worth of a child, the greatness of a child will never be dependent on if a child's successful or fails, or as Rabbi Sholem mentions, receives a good grade. But rather, no matter what a child does, they always have their parents in their pocket. Parents are always your number one fans, rooting you on, supporting you. Success, failures, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I go out there, I come home, my parents are going to be there supporting me. And as the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, Ki avi v'imi azvuni, maybe at 120 when our parents leave us, continues the Pasuk, Hashem yasveni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there to support us. Our parents, our relationship with our parents potentially, is really just a microcosm of the relationship we hope to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We think our parents give to us, our parents spoil us, send us on this wonderful program. Just think how much more HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Waking us up every morning, sustaining us, sustaining our memories, our brains, our ability to walk, talk, everything. However much our parents might provide for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more so. However much our parents love us and support us, no matter where I am, no matter what I do, I tap my pocket and I feel that credit card, so to speak, of my parents. They're always supporting me. How much more so if before I leave the home, instead of tapping my wallet looking for a credit card, I tap my yarmulke, look at my tzitzis, look at my Tzelem Elokim, look at the fact that I have a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside me. And I think about that no matter what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on my side. With that, there's no stopping me. There's no ability for me to feel inertia, indecision, feeling less than. I'm not going to go out of my comfort zone. Because at the end of the day, not only may I have parents rooting me on, but even more so, I have Avinu Shebashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. No matter what, no matter what I do, I'll always tap my yarmulke, tap my tzitzis and say, you know what? My self-esteem, my worth is all in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We talked about 5 myths. Contagious. It's a choice. You want to vary your experience. It comes from within you, not from others. And something that we build, not something that's natural necessarily. We want to leave you with a few tips for building. Halacha l'maisa. How do we actually build our confidence? How do we build our self-esteem for the future? And the first thing is that you have to have a long-term outlook. You have to look long-term. You have to see the bigger picture. You have to not get stopped and shattered by every single bump in the road. If you drive around this special place, Beit Meir, Amot Shapir, you'll notice there's speed bumps all the time. And every single time you hit a speed bump, you stop your car and you stop, you're never going to go anywhere. Because they're everywhere. And the truth is, life has those also. There's speed bumps all around. But what are you supposed to do? Keep on driving. Maybe you have to slow down a little bit. You should slow down a little bit. That's the safe thing to do, friends. Extra tip for tonight on self-esteem confidence. You can take that for free. That's a bonus right there. Buy one, get one right on there. You get the little extra driving tip. But in addition to slowing down, you drive. You keep on going. In life, those who struggle tend to be impatient. They get too bogged down in the moment. They get too focused on that speed bump. Sometimes you have to step back and see that big picture instead of doing something called catastrophizing. Taking one little bump and making it a giant catastrophe. I'll give you an example of what that is. Let's say I failed the test. I didn't get a grade that I wanted to. So some people could say, all right, this is not good. You know, I should probably figure this out. But other people might start piling on that. They might say, oh my God, I failed the test. Oh my God, I'm never going to pass school. Oh my God, I'm going to be a total failure in life. So if we want to be people who are able to build our confidence and our self-esteem, we've got to look at that moment and zoom out for a second. Yes, this isn't good. Yes, there's a bump in the road. Yes, this is difficult. Yes, I'm not happy with the result that I just achieved. But I got to be able to zoom out and see that bigger picture. It was a test. One test. If you do the mathematical calculation of how much that test factors into your, you know, average for the year, your GPA, I guarantee you it won't be such a big deal. I have special spreadsheets. I put them all in. It spits it out for me. It works beautifully. One test, not the end of the world. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And that's true for life. You have to be able to look long term, to see the bigger picture, and to zoom out. That's one tip. Number two is we also have to be good to ourselves. We got to practice self-compassion. We have to be forgiving to ourselves. Sometimes we're way, way, way too hard on ourselves. We hit that speed bump. We hit that failure. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, it's just not okay. I wasn't okay. I shot like 0 for 10 today. It's ridiculous. I should never play basketball again. It's horrible. And sometimes I gotta say, like, you know what? Even the greats have bad days. Even the greatest people, the most talented people, the most wonderful people in the world also mess up sometimes. And the same way that we forgive other people, we also have to forgive ourselves. We have to be able to let go a little bit and to be able to recognize that, you know, one bump in the road, again, zoom out and forgive. Zoom out and be compassionate. Zoom out and be able to say, okay, let's move on. I'm going to be good to myself the same way that I'd be good to other people. It also means being good to other people. It also means being able to forgive other people. It also means being able to move past things with other people. But being able to have that self-compassion is something that's critical.
Just one piece of a practical advice to carry out Rav Shulman's point of forgiving yourself. For me, it was incredibly impactful. I still do to this day. When I was struggling a number of years back, perhaps with some self-esteem issues, I spoke with my grandfather in America, and he shared with me the following idea, that every day when you wake up in the morning, or maybe before you go to sleep at night, write down your goals for the next day. Write down what you would like to accomplish. Which, first of all, that helps organize you and realize what your priorities are. But even more so, let's say the following night when I'm going to sleep. You know what happens? You know what happens if you fail? I only did 3 out of 5 things on my list. If the fourth thing, I got a 6 out of 10. If I forgot completely about the second item, if I didn't accomplish what I had hoped, you know what happens? Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes me up tomorrow morning, and I get the same Oda Ani, Rabbi Emunah Secha, all over again. Writing down my goals oftentimes allows me, first of all, to concretize, focus in, laser in on them, and then even more so, allows me to bump back from failure, because I say, you know what? I can make the same list tomorrow, and the day after that.
Final tip. Stop comparing ourselves to other people. Stop looking at the person next to me, behind me, in front of me, this or that. What are they good at? What are they not good at? How do I measure up to them? How do I not measure up to them? Again, look inside ourselves. Don't be focused about how smart this person is, or how nice that person is, or how wise that person is, and how they're good at this or they're good at that. We got to look at ourselves. So friends, we'll end with one final thought, but we hope that we'll take these 5 Mythbusters, these 3 tips, and we hope that, again, it's not natural necessarily. It's something that everybody's on a journey. Everybody's on a process of building themselves. And we hope that we'll be able to build that and to grow even more together.
And we'll just end with perhaps the source of Emuna that we say every morning in Shacharis, every Maariv, right before we go to sleep, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. But in truth, that one is not one as in single, but one as in singular, unique. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. He's one. Each and every one of us. Not only are we individuals, that I'm different than you and you're different than me, but rather, each and every one of us, the same way we have an ability, we have the obligation to have Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have an ability and an obligation to have Emunah in myself, that I too am Echad. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful night.